You know, my mom likes to listen to my sermons. So I try to make sure that I record them. She's going on 97. Her mind's pretty good. The rest of her's kind of in distress, but I don't want to say too much. Mom might not like me to. Still looks good. Still a lot of fun to talk to. So, hi, Mom. The 1928 Book of Common Prayer and the earlier editions of the Common Prayer just have such beautiful and majestic language. And the collect about how, O Lord, thou didst suffer the doubting of Thomas, I'm paraphrasing, suffer, I love that word, suffer the doubtful Thomas for the greater confirmation of the faith. That's the whole message today. The doubting of Thomas was for the greater confirmation of the faith. Now, when I was a kid, I didn't want to be named Thomas. I, for some reason, in my young mind, and I'm one of those strange people that can remember things way, way, way back. Like, before I was 4 years old, I remember things. And people don't believe me, but then I say, well, what about this? Oh, yeah, I guess you do remember. Well, maybe somebody told you about that. But I remember about the age of 4 or 5 telling my parents I didn't want to be named Thomas anymore. And they said, well, what do you want to be named? I said, I want to be named Joe. Well, this was a time period in American history where Joe was a real man, no matter who he was, you know. There was G.I. Joe, and there was Joe the mechanic down on the corner, and there was Joe the garbage collector, and I thought Joe was a real man. And in my young, unformed mind, I kept getting Thomas and Judas confused. Which didn't get me points in Sunday school. But I literally remember during Sunday school someone saying, who betrayed Jesus? And I raised my hand and they said, Tom. And they called me Tommy. Tommy. Thomas did. Everybody laughs. Everybody laughs because young Tommy had it wrong. But you know, Thomas and Judas, when I was little, seemed to be the bad guys. Well, Judas especially, but Thomas, doubting Thomas. You don't want to doubt. That's terrible. We don't doubt here. Well, I've become somewhat of a doubting Thomas myself. Speaking of names, when the hospice I worked for was bought out by another corporation and they had a total management structure and electronic medical record system that was a disaster, and I didn't mind telling these new corporate people what I thought about it, they didn't change my name to Doubting Thomas. The young lady who was the liaison between our old company and our new company christened me Grumpy Gus. And I'm constantly asking, why are we doing this? Medicare doesn't require it. Why are we doing this? The state doesn't require it. And I'm often told, just be quiet. Somebody's writing a doctoral dissertation and we want you to collect data. That's what I think. But that's my cynical nature. But doubting did confirm the faith, didn't it? Now, let me switch gears just a little bit, because this is Advent. And Advent is a time of waiting. You know, we see the people of Israel, the people of God, waiting for this Messiah. We see Simeon saying, you know, he can go and rest now because he's seen, he can be delivered to God because he's seen the coming of the Messiah. It's a time of hopeful expectation. Well, if you look at what we see about Thomas in the book of John, it was sort of a bit of hopeful expectation. It seems like Thomas didn't quite believe that Jesus was all that special, but that he was following him, and he obviously cared a lot about him. When Jesus decided to go and see Lazarus in John 11, he had to go to Bethany, and everybody was afraid he would be taken by the authorities and tried and executed. And he says, okay, well, let's go. And you know what Thomas says? He says, well, let's go and die with him. It's like, if he's going to go over there on his own, we might as well go with him. And it didn't appeal to me or seem to me that Thomas was saying, hey, I really trust this guy. He knows what he's doing. He's going, well, if he's going to go and die, let's go with him. Poor guy. It's the advent of waiting to find out if what you hope about someone is really true. I'm hoping that my wife is still not waiting to find out what she hopes about me is true after all these years. But I know there was a period in our relationship where, you know, you're kind of waiting. Is this guy really okay? Is he putting me on? Is this the real deal? And I see Thomas doing that. You know, we see in chapter 14 where Jesus is saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go, I will come again. I go to prepare a place for you, that where you may be, I may be also." And the famous line after that is, "Thomas, we don't know where you're going. We don't know what you're talking about. We don't know the way." So you see the doubt there as well. And then Jesus answers with that definitive statement that makes Christianity unique among all religions. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." So we see from the colic, God is suffering Thomas's doubt to prove a greater confirmation. Sometimes the guy who asks questions, maybe that should have obvious answers, is the one that allows us to understand the whole picture. Thomas doubted, Jesus answered. Now we know. Well, apparently Thomas still didn't quite believe, because he shows up after the resurrection. And I'm wanting to be a little bit more charitable, because there are some apologists who say, well, they don't think Thomas was such a doubter. He was just a guy that, you know, rational, intelligent guy that wanted proof. And he tells the disciples, "Okay, you've seen him. I'm not going to believe it till I can see the wounds and put my hand in the wound and put my fingers in the wounds." Well, Jesus shows up to him and tells him what he said when Jesus wasn't there. That would be something I would call a clue as to the identity of this man Jesus. But Thomas goes ahead, and God suffered his doubt for the confirmation of the faith. The first person in the Bible to proclaim, "My Lord and my God." Now that's a namesake I'll keep. I know my faults, I know my doubts, I know my struggles, I know my questions. But Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." And that's all of us. And I do believe from the natural world and the scriptures and the historical record and all the things we have available to us at this time, that we can believe without seeing. Doubt happens. It's just part of life. But when you doubt, think about all the blessings of God in your life. Think about everything you're thankful for. Think about the record of history and most of all scripture. And think about, is this something you really want to doubt? You know, the bishop's letter might have sounded a little stern, but one of the things the bishop has said over and over that I've heard him say, "We just have trouble believing God is that good." That's our doubt. We have trouble believing that God is that good, that he will save us, redeem us, regenerate us, and in the last day raise us again to be with him forever. Did I doubt that my niece would ever call me again? Yeah. Was my whole family in a lot of anxiety over my niece? Yeah. But look what God did. And he suffers my doubt to confirm how good he really is. And he suffers all of our doubts, that when we turn to him, we realize how good he really is. Let me close with a funny little story that's just a story. It's not for real. Imagine that you are homeless in Tucson and you're walking around and you meet this guy and you really like him. And you start hanging around with him because he's really got some good things to say. He's homeless too. He's walking around, you know, being homeless. But he's different from all the other homeless people. And let's say he starts to tell you these fantastical things. He's homeless on the streets of Tucson. And he says, "I used to be a Navy SEAL." And you're like, "Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay." And a couple days later, he says, "I used to be a Green Beret." "Well, you said you were a Navy SEAL." Well, I was that too. Okay. But you like the guy. And you try and keep him out of trouble when he's wandering around and might have other homeless people not like him so much, or have the police arrest him for vagrancy or whatever. And then he'll look at you one day and said, I used to be a neurosurgeon and I could still work on your brain if I had the right equipment in place. Okay. Okay. But you come to love this guy. You really come to love this guy, but you're not sure about him. And you keep asking him questions and... Yeah, he sounds pretty smart. He sounds like he's really with it, but he's homeless and he's just out there walking around with everybody and being a nice guy. Well, you're walking down the street one day with him and a limousine pulls up and some important person runs out and says, Jeff, where have you been? The Navy's looking for you. The Army's looking for you. There are people who need your skills. And this guy says, Oh, I guess I'll go with you. And then he says, oh, can my friend come too? And you get in this limousine and they take you to the Air Force Base and they put you on this transport plane to Washington and all of a sudden you're in an operating theater watching him work on the president's brain. That's a silly story. But that's what Thomas felt when he said, my Lord and my God, was infinitely more beautiful, infinitely more full of status and wonder and holiness and goodness. I just tell that story because when you say, my Lord and my God, that's such a beautiful thing. Let us pray. Amen. Our Lord and our God, we thank you that you suffer our doubts. But even the doubts of Thomas were doubts that helped to confirm our faith. Be with us. Send your Holy Spirit to always confirm our faith. And when we doubt, Lord, let our doubts be given to you so that we don't try to control a situation that is in your control. But our doubts take us away from your protection and your path for our life. Let us give our doubts back to you so that you may guide us and direct us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.